Bud Dickman. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hungry Show. We're sitting here in a concert stage. On a stage right now is a man with a violin and everything. No, I play the violin, man. Sounds good. Dead. In a moment, Mr. Henry will be on stage, but right now we're listening to a violin player. No, I know. Yeah, like Mozart or that Mozart.
That wasn't Mozart. This is Machine Head, is my understanding. I don't know.
What's it called?
It is called Machine Head. I don't know what this is. I don't know what its name is.
You mean the lead singer?
Yes, the lead singer, Phil.
Anyway, it is Machine Head. It is a song called Now We Die.
Standing at the edge of the world.
Hey.
I'm General Galen Shaw. Now it's your move.
Good morning and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hungry Show. We're live on TuneIn. We're live on our Listen Live line. But if you are listening to us right now on demand, that's cool too, baby, because you know that's what it's all about. That's what the new podcast world all about.
Yes, it is about the on-demand listening. I saw some of the tweets that were going out last night. I would agree with you on that, Phil.
All right, Machine Head, thank you very much.
What is that supposed to mean, Machine Head? I know what it means. It means they've got nothing but metal between the ears, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You got said that right.
Wait a minute. It sounds like I misspoke. You're making fun of me.
Yeah. Guy got metal between the ears. You got that right.
Yeah, you got that right.
All right, I did misspeak.
All right, you said basically that they're idiots, and you got your say there, General. All right, welcome to the show. Podcasting. That's what we do here now on the world-famous Phil Hungry Show, and there was a statement made. It never ceases to amaze me, and it never ceases to amuse me, and it never ceases to anger me, and it never ceases to do a whole bunch of shit that it shouldn't do to me, because guess what? I got better things to do now, man, than to worry about the radio. I could give a shit about the radio business, honest to God. I do mention it from time to time because I see mistakes being made, And now, if somebody said to me, you know, Phil, would you like to go back on the radio? It would have to be for guaranteed money. I can't even begin to tell you what it would take to get me. Not that anybody's offering me any radio jobs. But I can tell you, it would take guaranteed money over an extended period of time. There's no fucking way I'd go back and work in radio under the conditions that exist today, which is this... wholesale robbery of talent and the elevation of and the suckage of the music talent. iHeartRadio is an example of that. Clear Channel is an example of that.
Now, are you going to start complaining?
Yeah, see, this is where you begin.
Hold on. Well, you know, I got a thing. You guys were talking about podcasting, weren't you?
We were saying the new podcast world, the on-demand. I don't know. What was I saying?
You brought it up, Margaret.
Yeah, you did, Ms. Gray. Talk about a podcast.
I don't think I was.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I did want to kind of... Because this goes into whether or not we're going to be at the Podfest tonight.
Are you kidding me, man? You're scheduled to be there and everything.
Yeah, I know. Shit. You know, I would love to... I was thinking about just blowing out the Podfest tonight, but I guess that would disappoint a bunch of people, right?
Yeah, I think it would very much disappoint the four people. I'm only kidding.
Well, he may not be kidding, Phil. How many people are going to show up for this?
The Podfest is big. The Podfest is huge. If you're in the Los Angeles area tonight, by all means, go over to the Sofitel Hotel. And if the Sofitel Hotel sounds like something that's highfalutin and fancy, by God, I think it is, because I think it's in Beverly Hills, which, of course, is where our close personal friend Ted Bell works. And
are you getting Ted on this morning? Or we had him on yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to, you know, bother him again. And
you're going to say, you know what, if you want to hear him again.
You know, that's not your statement to make, bud.
To be honest with you, I can only take Ted once a week. So we'll be in the Beverly Hill sections of the Metro, the L.A. Basin. Which is very romantic, isn't it? Where are you going this year? I think we're going to go to the L.A. Basin. That's like, why don't we go to the L.A. Sink? Isn't there a sink?
What do you mean, isn't there a sink?
I think they call certain things sinks.
Bill, I call a sinkhole, Mr. Henry.
No, I know they call things a sinkhole, but I thought that there's the L.A. Basin, and then there's the San Diego Sink, and then there's the Phoenix Tub, And
yeah, there's a fee, and then there's the San Francisco wash bowl.
You know, you're laughing a lot at your cornball bullshit. I grab your nose and tear it off.
No, we're not talking about the San Francisco wash bowl or the L.A. Bay. So, anyway, go to Beverly Hills tonight there to the L.A. Podfest. It's the Sofitel Hotel. We're going to be in the Santa Monica room at 9. Now, why do they call it the Santa Monica room? Because it's right next door to the Beverly Hills room. Never mind.
Well, you know, that's for you, pal, because I'm going to be at home tonight, and come probably about the time you're ready to go on with with your podcast, I will be sawing logs big time.
What do you mean by sawing? You mean sleeping?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sleep. Wow, this guy.
You don't know what sawing logs is, Robert.
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's good when you're sawing logs, like, you know, like that.
Oh, okay.
You never heard the term sawing logs?
I've heard about catching Z's, yeah.
Yeah, sawing logs is the same thing as catching Z's. It's the same thing as counting sheep. It's the same thing as a lot of other stuff. On the show this morning, we are going to have Dave Castorini, Reverend Dave Castorini. Reverend Castorini is going to be talking about the most bizarre story that I saw on Tweedle last night. On Twitter, I'm just kidding. And it was about Christian swingers. Now, you got to be high on some kind of narcotics, Jack, to try to start selling me this shit. You know what I'm saying, General?
What is it called again?
These are Christian swingers, General.
Christian swingers.
Well, what is a swinger?
These are people that have sex outside of marriage with each other's consent. They get together and they swing. There's four people, two couples.
And they're having, and the guy is, and are the men doing it to each other?
No, generally it's heterosexual. So it's, but they, you know.
Boy, that's about as weird a thing, you know. Wow. Maybe if I was married to somebody better, well, I better not say that.
Oh, my God.
I love Patsy, and you know, look, I don't even want to talk about it.
No, I don't want to hear you talk about it either.
What is that supposed to mean? That's like a grotesque thought?
It's just I don't want to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, General, you don't hear about it. You talk about it.
Well, then why don't we talk about Dickman? No, thank you. I don't think I want to hear that either. I think I'm going to throw my guts up. Excuse me. Is that oatmeal ready or not?
Got the maple syrup and everything.
Great.
Okay, maple syrup, huh?
It's fantastic.
What?
Well...
What?
I am in the interest of full disclosure, as well as making the program as compelling as can be. I was involved, not with Frank, with my boyfriend before Frank, in these different, shall we say, free love exercises. Now, were we swingers? No, technically, because we were not married.
All right, so you, when you were a young woman...
Yes, and this was before Frank. Because God knows what Frank was doing while he was out there coming down with gender confusion.
Yeah, probably the thing he did, he come down with gender confusion.
He didn't come down with it.
Yeah, he had to call 911 when he had gender confusion.
Oh, isn't that funny? Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Hendry. Ooh. Woo. Woo.
Why are you doing that?
I'm sitting on something. What is it? Ooh. Oh, it's a nail.
What is that?
We're trying to tack stuff up on the wall, man. Trying to keep the drywall falling down.
Get those nails out of here, man.
God damn, I sat down on a woo nail. So,
Gotta come back in here, General. Margaret's gonna talk about how she used to put it. She put it out and give it up for another guy. I didn't mean to see a minute.
Go over his nose, Margaret.
Right now.
You don't talk about me, all right? You don't talk about me in the third person. You don't ever. Talk about me. I'm Margaret Gray.
You know, that's the weirdest thing. You'll say, I'm Margaret Gray, and he'll applaud you for having just kicked his ass.
That's it. Now you get it. Now you understand the gray world. Now you understand my world. Now you understand that after I give a man the treatment, whether I'm going to tear his eyes out, whether I'm going to scold.
Oh, my God, she was going to say scold, you know what.
No, I was. No matter what I'm going to do to a man, he always gives me a round of applause afterward. Bud Dickman?
Hey, 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 hey.
Don't start mocking me.
So, the swinging thing, this is a goofy deal, man. And what I want to do is get Dave Castorini on just to kind of cover this thing, man, because we do cover the waterfront when we can. But I saw this story on Twitter, and one of the people that I follow was talking about it. Christian swingers. You ever heard of anything more bull crappy?
No, that's about as bull crappy as... that's the biggest load of bull crappy bull crap You know, what do you mean bull crappy?
It just sounds like it's horse dung. I'll be writing Christian Swingers here. For those of you that are following us here this morning on the world-famous Phil Henry Show on our... what am I trying to say here?
Videocast?
Phil TV!
Yeah, Phil TV. Right now I'm over in the news section. And we'll go ahead and flip that for you so you can see that. We're going to write in here, Christian... Is it Christian Swingers? And see what we come up with here, brah. Christian Swingers Network is only for the super fit. Oh, get the...
Oh, yeah. Well, did you love that? I'm so Christian that I want to make sure you've got a big pair on you.
That isn't Christian at all, is it?
I don't know what's Christian. Blessed are the swingers. Christian couples share partners. This has got to be a gag. God uses us to spread the word, man. This is exactly what Dave Castorini was talking about of the Dave Castorini Youth Ministry. Here's Christian Today. They're featured in a magazine called Christian Today. This story's in Metro. Christian Swingers Network is only for the super fit. Are you ready for this? Now, here are four Christian swingers. The guys look like hell. The women both look like standard catalog big tit blondes. You know.
Well, that one there looks like a filthy... I'll tell you this. If I were a young woman, and don't even say it, bud.
Well, how do you know?
You say...
Watch it.
I'll kill him. I swear to God.
I'm just going to say, you never know a guy's going to want to do you, or you're going to want to park it on his...
Excuse me.
Well, there they go. There they go.
She's going to kill him, Phil. If you don't stop her, swear to God, she'll kill him.
Come on, Margaret.
Ow! There, I almost tore it off that time.
You're not talking about...
No, I'm not talking about the penis.
The top of my penis?
I didn't lay a hand on your penis. I'd be hard to find. Oh!
Yeah. I'll give you a hand of applause on that one.
Wow. Boy, Phil, get some more sleep, you know?
Yeah. I tell you what, Phil, you need to go to bed earlier.
It wouldn't matter what time I went to bed. I could go to bed at 5 o'clock, man, and I would still be, you know, wrecked. Dig this. Christian Swingers Network is only for the super fit. Now, if you call these people super fit, first of all, the guy on the right, nothing against you, sir, but you look like a chick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy does kind of look feminine, doesn't he?
Now, I'm not saying anything. Love Jesus. Let's see, what's it say here? Love Jesus, love fitness, love sleeping with people other than your partner, then this Christian group is for you. Now, I don't know what Dave Castorini... These guys have nothing to do with Dave Castorini, right?
No, this is a different thing. Dave Castorini is not a... Dave Castorini simply... Can I get some coffee, please?
No, I don't need to.
Dave Castorini... That's much better. Dave Castorini... Dave,
what are you saying?
I forget.
You're saying Dave Castorini is not a swinger.
Dave Castorini's not a swinger. Dave Castorini is a Christian minister who uses sex to spread the word of the God. Okay, so in other words, Dave Castorini is spreading the word of the Bible. The Bible.
Yes, Margaret, we got it.
All right, I'm going slow for people that don't understand this. By going to the house of the person for to have the sex. What are you laughing at?
God damn, it's good, huh?
You gotta admit, that's pretty funny.
What's funny about that?
For to have the sex.
Jesus, I'm about to split a gut over here.
I hope all four of you men get into a bus. I hope the four of you go to Tijuana for the races and maybe to buy marijuana and hookers and you get into a bus accident and die. Excuse me.
Jesus, Margaret.
That's right. Read it and weep.
You know, you take a joke worse than anybody I ever met in my life. Okay, welcome back here. I just flipped it off of that obnoxious thing. 2, 3, 4. I bet you these people are about as disgusting and obnoxious as any four people you've ever met. Christian Swinger is... You talk about taking something and making it work for you. Maybe that's these cats what the Bible is for them, you know? This guy on the left has got pink fucking hair. Dig this cat on the left. You see him?
Yeah, now what is with the... Now, the one here on the right has got the big boodle. You know, the big boob.
Right.
Yeah, but the one over here on the left, she ain't got nothing. She's flat as BBs on a billiard board.
Man, are you kidding me, man? No, she doesn't.
She's not, bud. Let's read this story. This is as goofy as it gets. Then we got Dave Castorini coming on here. Love Jesus, love fitness, blah, blah, blah. Well, then you, you know, then fitness swingers is for you. Oh, fitness swingers. Dave Parave, Megan Verhoeks, Christy Parave, and John Betts of Fitness Swingers. Devout Christians Christy and Dave Parave got sick of fatties trying to get it on with them, so founded a swinging site just for gym buddies. Oh, gym bunnies. And it appears they're hoping to spread the word of God through their sex network, too. Here you see Christy with her big cans standing there, also with a vibrator as she holds a cross and a Bible. I'm kidding. Bisexual mom of three, Christy, 40, and her 49-year-old husband, Dean, get their shots once a week. She's only been discovered with chlamydia once, and that's... I'm joking.
Would you read that the right way?
Well, I mean, this thing begs to be made fun of. All right, we'll get in here in a moment here with Dave Castorini of the whatever the hell it is.
Dave Castorini on a Christian network. God damn.
Well, excuse me. Dave Castorini of the Christian network. What are you talking about, man?
No, it's Dave Castorini of the youth ministry. Are you guys going to sit there like deers in the headlights?
Dave Castorini of the youth ministries is the name of the thing. Okay, here is John Cougar Mellencamp, a new one. It's called Trouble Man. And we're going to get on to our good close personal friend here, Bob Bacon. He's got traffic for us out there on the highways and byways. Bob, what's on?
Hey, fellas, that's Bob Bacon out here on the highways and byways. We got the traffic for you here on the Ville Henry Show. And Brad's going out the outside. If you go up to Santa Barbara this morning and it becomes out there, there's a cow out there on the highway. And a highway and a byway with a cow. There's a guy driving a car. And we come down through town here in the valley. Oh, the valley is backed up here. It's backed up. The valley is backed up. I've got an Italian accent here this morning to talk about the valley. And downtown Los Angeles, hey, you're making your commute a little bit more pleasant this morning. If you go through the corridor there with Ross Lane, if you're going through the corridor, would you pick up my hat and my coat and hang it on a hat rack? It's Bob Bacon traffic.
And my best. No hopes to get better.
This is John Cougar Mellencamp, although you realize now he's 70 years of age, so he's going to sound every bit like it. It's
okay, General.
Oh, I'm telling you.
John Cougar Mellencamp, Trouble Man.
Yeah, this is great. This
kind of like the old home stuff, you know?
Well, it's definitely, it's Indiana.
This ain't exactly the rock the metal death that you play.
Anxiety and sorrow underneath my skin.
You should play I Need a Lover.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Hey, your ass.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I Need a Lover by John Cougar Mellencamp is my all-time favorite John Cougar Mellencamp song. The rest of them you could take and flush. But I'm kidding. There's some. I liked,
What's your favorite John Cougar Mellencamp? Is it what?
My favorite John Cougar Mellencamp is I Need a Lover. That's when he was known as John Cougar. I played that on the radio when it first came out when I was at,
Yeah, what station are you on, Mr. Aaron?
I was on K-West 106, and I Need a Lover came out by John Cougar Mellencamp. And then, I forget what else he did.
What about Little Pink Houses?
That sucks, Little Pink Houses. And that Jack and Diane, that's dog shit, too. All of that kind of, hi, I'm Bob Dylan light, you know.
Oh, don't you think that the I Need a Lover was?
Look, forget about it, man. Let's get on the, let's get it on, baby, huh? With Dave Castorini. Dave is, of course, with the Youth Ministries. He is in Scottsdale, Arizona for their 15th annual Youth Ministry Breakfast. And Reverend Castorini joins us. Good morning, Reverend Castorini. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. It's good to be with you.
And did you see this article about the Christian swingers?
Phil, you know, we have been familiar with Christian swingers for a long time. I've been in touch here with Cindy and Dean. I'm aware of their activities. I know that they are swingers, and that basically means, Phil, that they have a certain standard. They want to look a certain way. And I think they really believe they're spreading the gospel. I don't think they are, so long as they have this prohibition against the way people look.
Now, is this a Christian swinger group that is... There's a lot of these Christian groups that, for instance, Christian, you know, professional groups?
Well, there's a lot of groups of Christians that hang together, and I understand that. I don't believe in that. I think that Christians need to be out in the world. But we're talking about something much different here, Phil. We're talking about people that I don't think are necessarily spreading the gospel. I think they just simply want the comfort of having sex as they interpret it within the confines of Christian faith, which I don't think can possibly be had.
Okay. What about what you do?
Hold on. I'm not finished yet, okay? I'd like to finish my thought because I know as soon as I heard that you'd call this morning, and I got on the line with Dickman, and what did I say, bud?
Yeah, he did say, he said he's usually a very nice man, but today he's going to come out of his, can I say it?
Go ahead, you can say it.
He said today he's going to come right out of his briefs if he does, if he's not treated with the good.
It's fine, Reverend Castorina. I do not fault you for that. I understand. Margaret had a question.
Reverend Castor, I almost called you Castorini. Do you mind?
I do mind. I don't want to be called by my last name. I'm not some guy loading something on a dock. I'm not some guy.
All right, Reverend Castorini, I'm sorry.
So here's what we're going to do. Go ahead and explain to us exactly how you feel. We will not interrupt until you're ready to yield the floor, if you will.
What's that mean?
To give up the floor.
Yield the floor, Robert. In other words, to stop talking.
Well, I'd say floor.
Will you never mind? It's a thing
It's parliamentarian, Robert. You yield the floor in the parliamentarian. Forget it.
Well, I don't know about that. I thought you were talking about something else.
No, we're talking about... God damn.
God, man. You know, this is the reason why I have very little patience with you blacks. Because...
Are you not...
Ow!
Yeah, I hurt that, didn't it?
Yeah, sort of.
All right, are you guys done? And if you ever come up with that race shit again, bud, so help me God, I'll kick your ass all the way around the block for drill, and then I'll take a look and see how well I've done. I'll grade myself, and then I may want to do it again until I get an A, or maybe even an A+.
Yay! Even though I know I'm applauding my own ass-kicking, yay!
Thank you. All right, Reverend Castorini, here we go All right, go ahead, sir.
Here we go with what? Here we go with me finally being able to talk?
Yes, sir.
All right. This Christian swinger group, Phil, I don't know anything about them. I wouldn't know them if I tripped over them in the dark. I do have a level of irritation with them this morning because these are people who I do not believe are spreading the gospel so much as they just want a nice... there was a very filthy, filthy and bigoted and racist joke that was told by the Agriculture Secretary years ago by the name of Earl Butts. We don't have to talk about who he was referring to when he said all they want are loose shoes, tight...
Please don't. We know the word.
A tight P-word and a warm place to S.
I'll say it. A tight... Well, it is very crude.
Right. Well, all these Christian singers want is a warm place to... And let me use the word, Margaret. I don't mean to offend anybody. All these Christian swingers want is a warm place to shit. Let's just go right ahead and say it, you know. And
what do you mean by that? They want to have the sex.
Well, at the end of the day, bud, sure they want to have the sex. But really, all they want is a warm place to shit. They want to get up out of bed, stretch, check themselves out in the mirror one more time to make sure that their pecs and their biceps are good, that their testicles and their penis is looking real sweet and nice. Walk on into the bathroom and take a big one, you know, with the heater on. That's what they want. Leaving a woman laying there in bed all, oh, yeah, what a stud. I can tell you this much, Phil, that's not spreading the gospel. That's just two men, and I'm looking at these guys, and I'll say it for you right now. I'm looking at the guy on the left, this guy Dean. He's got pink hair, looks like a real fruit jar. The other guy on the far right, this is a guy by the name of John. And he looks like a fairy from way back. The two women I wouldn't pay $5 for if there was a special on the Four Corners in Vegas.
You are sounding very, very bitter this morning.
Yeah, I can't.
All right, well, what is the source of your anger?
The source of my anger is this. They're not spreading the gospel of Jesus. When we spread the gospel of Jesus through our Dave Castorini Ministries, we go out, yes, I send out the prayer counselors. Yes, I send out the young women. Yes, I send out the young men. But they're not there to spend the night or maybe go in, you know, on a sea cruise. And in the middle of a boat ride, all you hear is, oh, yeah, yeah. That's not what that's about. What they're there is, are you here to accept the word of the gospel? Yes, I am. All right,
Go ahead and get your pants down. That's what you're saying. So, in other words, it's sex if you convert.
No, it's not. It's saying, here's what you can have with the Dave Castorini Youth Ministry. Here's Christianity, but now here's the extra added cherry on top with the Dave Castorini Ministry. You get the Christian, everything what that is. You got Jesus, you get your church, you get your Jesus, you get your Bible. Then, but if you join through the Dave Castorini ministry, here's something else you're going to get, and that's when on cue, she'll drop her blouse and go ahead and pop that brassiere. And what happens is I have a remote back at the Castorini ministry. I have hidden cameras on all of my people because I don't want to see anybody doing anything that is going to offend or otherwise insult those people. So I'm monitoring all of these.
Now, wait a minute. You have hidden cameras on all of your prayer counselors.
Now, this is a... You know something, Castorina? I've heard some weird stuff, but, brother, you are taking me to a whole new area of the galaxy.
Well, you know something, General? This is exactly how it is.
You got hidden cameras on these people, and they're doing their pitch, and you're monitoring this?
Yeah, and as soon as I hear her say... If I hear that individual say, yes, I do want to join to the Dave Castorina ministry, and, you know, let's go ahead and get this show on the road, I'll go ahead and push a remote button, and the brassiere just blows right off of her because, you know, I shouldn't say, but I don't send any women out there unless they've got themselves some D-cup going on, and they're ready to really pitch on behalf of the Castorina ministry and the gospel according to Jesus.
All right, so there's a lot of people listening right now, Dave, that are so offended by this that they probably want to take their smartphone, they want to take their computer, they want to take the digital receiver inside of their car, and they want to ram their heads through it. They just don't want to throw it out. They want to ram their heads through it. What do you say to them?
I would say to them, if you are so upset you want to ram your head right through a smartphone, it would be easier for you just to step on it. That's when I'm joking around. Let me say this. I'm just kidding. The Dave Castorina ministry believes in the gospel according to Jesus, and we want to get people as fired up about Jesus as possible. We want people to be excited about Jesus.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold on, Dick. But now, come on. You know, we want people to be excited about Jesus. We want people to be thrilled. I've been on the phone with Pat Robertson, and I said, you know, Pat, you are a guy. I patterned my life after Pat Robertson. I wanted to be Pat Robertson at one time, but I knew that Pat Robertson had really cornered the market on the Christian ministry thing. Got a TV show. He's got himself a political recognition. He's got a power base. He got all going on. And what have I got? I got Scottsdale, Arizona, and a bunch of people that want to take their pants off and, you know, walk around.
You sound frustrated, Reverend Castorini, even though we're here to talk about your philosophy. You sound envious of these swingers.
In a lot of ways, I am.
Why?
Well, because they can pick and choose how hot the people are that they're with, and I've got to just take anything in off the street and try to find out. Now, who'd make a good... I sent a prayer counselor out the other day, beautiful girl, but she tipped it about 180, 185. And I remember saying, as she kind of went out the door, for a moment, I thought the door was still closed, because this is how it was, Phil. I thought the door was still closed, because to say it was black as night inside that room. She was blocking the sun, but she turned and she said, Reverend Castorini, I'm glad you've got faith in me, but I can tell you this, sir, I'm not losing 1 ounce, not 1 pound, for you and your ministry. Now, if you want, I'll come on back in here, and I'll give you a ride like you've never had in your life, and your eyeballs... You'll blow blood vessels out in your eyeballs when I'm done with you, or I'll head on out, and I'll get some people converted to the Dave Castorina ministry. Now, what's going to be there, Skinny? I mean, this woman's talking to me like this.
This was a young woman, a prayer counselor.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, you know, and I've temporarily lost control of my bladder. I remember very, very, very specifically losing control of my kidneys. I wet myself, and she says to me, that's what I thought. She turned, she wheeled about, and out she went. And I heard her slam the car door with the power and the strength of only a woman of 185, 190, maybe even 195 could do that. When she brought the car back, I realized it was one that belonged to the ministry and that the hinges on the car were bent. Because.
All right, Dave, hold on for a minute, will you?
What the fuck?
What are you laughing at?
Are you kidding? That's the funniest story I ever heard in my life.
Well, Phil, I think it's tragic.
Yeah, he's talking about the lady so fat.
We know, bud. All right, let's get to another break here. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll continue here with Dave Castorini of the Dave Crest of the Dave Quack of the Dave Quackenbush of the
Dave Castorini
of the Dave, yes, the Dave Castorini Ministries here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Kendrick Lamar with I. Kendrick Lamar with I. He's a click to pick, baby. By the way, the Phil 5 is out. You can check it out at Phil Hendry Show on Twitter. That's twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. To look at the 5. The Phil 5. Be right back. Phil Fim. I'm Phil Hendry. Don't go dry, yeah, yeah. As I look around me. Woo!
to tell me, but an amigo never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they felt me, and I love myself.
The world is a ghetto, big guns and dick inside.
Lift up your head and keep moving.
I'm Margaret Gray, and this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show on the Sideshow Network for Siempre Incorporated, brought to you by
Kedby's. Kedby's new chocolate mints. Kedby's, a great thing for Halloween. Give them out to the kids. They'll go, ooh, mint. Wait a minute, it's chocolate. It must be Kedby's. That's right, Junior. Kedby's mints. We'll give them out at Halloween, and you'll love it. Kedby's.
And by...
Well, this is Chef Carl Cedilli. I'll be making those great Rice Krispies treats, and I know a lot of kids like, because you know what, Halloween's coming all around the corner. I'll give them a Rice Krispies treat, and then I make them square up and give them a little bag.
And by...
These days of frustration keep y'all on...
The 2015 Jeep.
I duck these cold faces,
yes, the Jeep. It ain't the Jeep they rode around in the Army in World War II, but it's got the name Jeep anyway. Jeep.
I still smile.
I love myself.
The world is a ghetto, big guns and dick inside.
I love myself.
But they can do what they want when they want. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I love myself.
Now, this is badass. This is General Galen Shaw approved.
Not Kendrick Lamar. We like Kendrick Lamar here on the Phil Henry Show, but these four people.
These four guys, this is, we're talking with Reverend Dave Castorini about the Christian Swingers Network is only for the super fit. We'll get in here, Chris Norton. And Chris Norton is going to join us as well. Chris is an adult film producer. By the way, Chris was on stage with us the other night there at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. What'd you think, General?
Well, you know, this guy Norton really rubs me the wrong... And I didn't say rubs me on the thigh, okay?
Well, I mean, General, you got to be...
You have to be specific, General.
I don't need to be specific with it. This guy, I'll say it again, this guy... And if you laugh, I swear to God, Dickman, if you laugh, you die. But if you laugh, you die.
I couldn't be more clear, bud.
This guy, Chris Norton, rubs me... rubs me the wrong way, and I don't mean he's rubbing between my legs. Good, you're not laughing.
Try not to.
I swear to God, Dickman, Phil, do you mind if I commit wholesale murder here in this room?
Yes, I do. All right, we will have Chris Norton joining us here as well on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I just want to check... Oh, okay, hold on. I'm sorry. Jason J. Delmonico is babysitting. Jason J., is that the baby? I don't want you babysitting a baby.
Okay, why was that on the air?
I'm sorry.
I don't want you babysitting a baby. I thought you were babysitting. Where is your father? Yeah, let me talk to him. Frank? Yes. Yes. No. No. Yes. No, yes. Yes, no. Yep.
Get out of here with that.
Phone away from me.
Thanks, Frank. We'll talk to you later.
Frank's babysitting anyway.
Are they babysitting a baby?
No, they're babysitting my 14-year-old niece, but Greta, my sister, is there too. I don't know what's going on. That baby is a squeak sound effect from a doll they have.
They've got a doll?
They're playing with a doll that Greta brought them.
All right, so, God, man, you got the wildest family, and the weirdest things go on at the... This is a Friday morning at 9:30, and both Frank and Jason J., along with your sister, are babysitting one 14-year-old girl.
Yes, that's how it worked out, all right?
Okay.
I think they're having breakfast. They're going to shove off. Give me the phone. I'm sorry, hold on. Is he there?
Yeah, still all right.
Frank, you guys shoving off after breakfast? Well, make sure you do. I don't want you hanging around there. I don't want you dick lickers. All right, then. Bye.
Are you talking to your husband and your son?
Are you talking to me that way? That's the first question.
Yes, Harry.
Are you talking to your husband and son that way?
Yes. Let me tell you something, and I know the women out there identify with this. You got a man in your life, and you have sons in your life, and you love them, and you celebrate them. But to keep the men in your life in line, you got to bring a little of... you got to come off like Napoleon sometime.
Well, you know, Margaret, I can't fault that. But calling your own husband and son a couple of dick lickers, wow.
Man, I'm going hurt.
Well, read it and weep.
All right. So back we go to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. We have Reverend Dave Castorini on the line. And we're going to bring on here Chris Norton, who is, as I mentioned, an adult film producer here in the Los Angeles area. I say Los Angeles, I'm kidding, Los Angeles area. And I say that just for laughs and for giggles. And he is well with us. He's with us to talk about this very, very unusual, I think, extraordinary kind of Christian lifestyle, Christian swingers. Chris Norton, how are you?
I'm really good, Mr. Henry, thank you.
And Reverend Castorini?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
All right, I want to start off with Chris. Chris, have you heard of these Christian swingers?
Well, I have sort of heard of the Christian swinger. These are swingers that will, you know, sometimes they advertise for themselves in a swinger magazine. I've not had no reason to be in no swinger magazine because my sass is out there. It's open. It's evident. I'm very evident, Mr. Henry, when I'm in the Rusty Pelican, I'm in a bar. You know, Mr. Henry, when I'm in a bar. You know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Go ahead.
This is Dave Castorini. Chris, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Chris, I'm a minister, and I do believe in Jesus through sex and sex relations. I don't believe in swinging. Are you a Christian?
No, I'm not. Technically, no, I'm not. I was raised Christian, but I'm a little bit nervous because I am talking to a minister.
There's nothing to be nervous about, Chris. We are always looking for Christian counselors, young men and young women, to present and who are evident. Are you evident in your slacks? And this is a technical question, Phil. I don't mean to...
Is he evident in his slacks?
Oh, my God. You're asking...
Are you asking if you can see the guy's...
I'm just asking, Chris. Chris, are you evident in your slack?
I am evident in at least one slack. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but you can't be evident in both slacks. So you're evident in a slack.
We need evident in a slack.
I'm talking about the one slack.
All
right, so we could always use... And here's the thing, Phil. What I'm trying to say to Chris is this. We are not swingers. We don't go out with other couples and destroy marriages in the name of Jesus. That's what these Christian singles are doing. This one woman is bisexual. This other guy is probably gay and is trying very desperately to be straight. This guy on the left with the pink hair and the glasses, he looks like a fruit ball from way back. He looks like he got on a time machine from the caveman days, went straight into the future when men's hair comes in pink, and then came back to the present where they wear those stupid-looking glasses. And, oh yeah, all of that time travel basically shrunk the size of his penis. I'm Dave Castorini.
Yay!
Well, what does that mean?
What I'm saying... I hope you guys can understand.
Let me jump in. If I'm Mr. Henry, what I'm saying, I think what Reverend Castorini is not saying.
I'm going to say what I want to say.
All right, go ahead.
I'm saying that we send people to your home as Christian prayer counselors, and if you say, yes, I do accept Jesus through the Dave Castorini Christian Ministry, I hit a remote switch that explodes the brassiere of the woman who's in the room, two of the largest breasts you're ever going to see on this planet. I don't know about where else you want to think you want to get going, where you want to get going. And I'm not talking about that three boob lady, because I think that's freak section. I think that's freak section 4, row 3, seat 1, right on the rail, you know?
You know, because I want to say that, too, that three boob lady.
Oh, that woman.
Well, who's the three boob lady?
This is a woman that had prosthetic surgery and had an extra breast attached. She's disgusting. She's vile. I think she should be put in prison as some kind of... If she wants to be a freak, then I say bring back the freak shows.
I wouldn't go that far. But it's definitely vile. It's definitely something I don't want to see.
You know, the three boob, we can talk about three boob all you want, but I'm not on the program right now talking about three boob. I'm on the program right now talking about the swinger lifestyle. I do not swing because I'm not married. However, I have been in twosome. I've been threesome. Most of what I do are fivesomes. But that's me and four women. I have never had sex, nor will I ever have sex with another dude. Now, my very best friend is Steve McDadanies, and Steve and Brian and Bill and Bob Cutter. Those guys are dudes that I will pick up chicks with at the Rusty Pelican. One of them's a bartender there, Steve Bertelme.
Steve, do what to me?
No, it's not do it, Steve Bertelme.
That's his name, Steve Bertelme.
All right.
You know, can I finish?
Yeah, you can, but I want to say one thing, Chris. You're out picking up women. We're talking about Christianity.
Yeah, Chris, this is a different thing. I mean, the swingers that Reverend Castorini's talking about are swingers that are advertising, I expect, through Christian magazines.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Well, I've not heard about that. I will just say that I swing, but I do. I only swing with women. I don't swing with other dudes. I mean, there's one time that I did have sex in the same room with a dude, and I'm not counting being on a film.
Yeah, what about when you're gonna be in an adult movie?
Yes, if you're doing adult films, obviously you're in a scene with another man from time to time, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm right now. I'm still sort of building my way up. I am. An assistant. I'm not really a producer. I'm kind of interning right now.
So you're not even an actor.
Well, I mean, yeah, I am. Yeah. You know?
No, you're just there when they need a spare. You know what?
Yeah, you're like a stunt dick.
Get out of that stunt dick.
Hold on. So anyway, I don't need to know what Chris is doing. So tell us more about what you consider to be swinging, Chris.
Well, right. I mean, what I'm saying is swinging is when you are swinging for me I swing for the fences. When it comes to sex, let me say this, and I want to put this out there. When it comes to sex, I swing for the fences. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And
I'm sure. Chris, there are buts, as in B-U-T-T-S, you know? You know?
Yeah.
I think it's very unfair, Phil. You guys get off all your one-liners, and you get your jollies off. I lifted one. And I thought I delivered it high and tight, and you guys are all cricket.
Okay, we're not here for the joke festival yet, okay? If you don't mind, Reverend.
All right, Phil, you don't have to talk to me like I'm some bum asking you for change. What a dickhead.
Oh, God, is he trying to hang up?
Drop the phone. No, I'm not hanging up.
Just to conclude my thought, Mr. Henry, I'll let Reverend Castorini say what he wants to say. It's very simply this.
What did you call me, by the way?
I called you Reverend Castorini.
Yeah, my name is Castorini, not Cavalli. I don't play that, man. I don't play that Spaniard stuff. Where everything like Jose Maria off a ball, you know?
It's that sinus condition the guy has.
Well, it sounds jacked up and jacked over. And I'd appreciate it very much if you say my name like a straight American, as opposed to a European with a space between his teeth, if you don't mind.
I'm gonna do the very best I can, you know. I'm just saying the Reverend here, Mr. Henry, is talking about sexuality through the Christians, and then the other people, the Christian swings or the swingers, are people that believe in sexuality through the Christian swinging. I'm just saying that I have never had sex with another man in a room unless it's been on camera, except for one time with Steve Bertelme. Steve and I picked up these two chicks. They were scissors. And they were Playboy bunnies, and they had just come straight from the mansion, and they wanted to get a cocktail before they, you know, it turned in for the night. And they were living at a condo right there on Hermosa Beach. Okay, Mr. Henry?
Okay, I'm following. So you and Steve?
Yeah, Steve and I picked up these two chicks, and we took them back to, we don't ever go back to our place. Steve, me, all of my friends, Bill, Bob, Jack, Bill, and another Bob. I got like six friends, Bill, Bob.
Okay, that's fine. I don't need to know all of their names. So this is you and Steve Bertelme.
Yeah, me and Steve Bertelme. So the chicks go, you know, let's do this. Let's do it right. I said, Ray, you know, where you live? And I'm like, what? Oh, my God. You know, we don't go. I said, hey, let me tell you what. You know, this all this takes place in the confines of your crib, because no way I was going to take you back to my crib. Because they'll know where you live, you know.
I can understand that. Well, we have, in our ministry, Phil, I don't ever have the prayer counselors give up where they live, because we don't need them coming back to the prayer counselor's crib and messing that up. Because a lot of times, I like to go there myself and see how they're doing and counsel them myself. And no, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm having sex with them, okay?
But it may mean it.
No, it may not mean it, Phil. It may mean it, but I'm going to say to you, because I don't like how smart...
You don't like how smart-ass I sounded, so...
I'm going to lie.
Just to wrap up.
Yes, would you wrap up, because we have a break coming up?
Okay, they don't know that, Margaret.
I don't know that. I don't have no clock on me. God damn, man. You know.
You didn't know that.
Wrap up.
Okay, you know what, Miss Gray? My penis is out of my pants, and I'm going to wrap it in saran wrap. That's the thing.
And what happened to Castorini?
I hung up on him, too. The two of them ought to go to... The two of those guys ought to, first of all, get to a clinic and just take handfuls of penicillin just to make sure. Then they should go to a doctor and have a physical to make sure there's no scabbing or...
Jesus!
No, I'm telling you. Make sure there's no, you know, herpes. Then they should boil themselves in hot, just boiling water. Then they should ship their own asses to an island where there are no human beings, and preferably where there is a slight chance of either Ebola or bubonic plague. Thank you.
Hey!
All right.
That was the most hateful and hideous thing I've ever heard. I can't say as I disagree, but it was hateful and hideous.
Yeah, but I thought it was hateful and hideous, but on the mark.
Great, thank you. It was hateful and hideous, but it was on the mark. Phil Henry Show here, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back here. Here's Wiz Khalifa, and guess what, man? He got up this morning, and Wiz looked into that bag, and he saw a whole bunch of bud, and he decided to blast up, and he's smoking all that dope, even though he is a multi-millionaire making hit record after hit record. He's in the studio till 4 a.m.
First thing, wake up out of dream,
Oh, shit.
Grab a light, something I can steam,
Oh, shit.
Bong ripper,
Make sure it's clean, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico, Southern California. Be right back here. Yeah.
Cruising down the street, So stoned, I'ma need something to eat,
Sure.
No tray, Ashes on my seat,
What do you mean, sure? Yeah, sure.
Tailors on my feet, Cloud nine, Going through my mind, Take a toke, Hold it till you choke, Moving forward, Cruising on my board, Still got more, Burn it to a short, And I'll be flowing. I get so high. Fuck around and never come down. I get so high.
Tim Jeffrey Airlines, charter airlines to the Bay Area and back every day. Do you need to go to San Francisco? Tim Jeffrey Airlines. One little prop job, it's two wings. That's right, the old-fashioned biplane. Fly Tim Jeffrey Airlines, the breeze, the open air, the mail sacks. Do you have a friend like that? Probably gives you a headache. Use Jeffrey's buffered aspirin. Jeffrey's buffered aspirin has two painkillers. In fact, I just took one, and you can hear my speech slurring. That's how it numbs the mouth, it numbs the brain, and it numbs that clown that comes into your office with some new idea for your ad agency job, which you're going to quit anyway, probably within about 6-7 hours, just as soon as the boss comes back. Jeffrey's buffered aspirin.
Heard you got a cheaper price for that reefer, What you need, Never find a seat, Take a dab, Straight THC, Or the highest in the room, look at me, Somewhere in the clouds, that's where we wanna be, Got you shook, Not just for the look, Half the day, Wrote the whole book, Drive slow,
I think that is Vernon Dozier.
Eyes low,
Everybody
know,
well.
And I be flowing, I get so high. Fuck around and never come down.
Professor Emery Clayton joining us here on the Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Wiz Khalifa, and so high. And I'm very happy to have Professor Clayton on the line with us here because I think he's gonna speak to the very thing we talked about here a few mornings ago. And Professor Clayton, so great to have you with us.
And a very pleasant good morning to you,
Professor Clayton. So much we could talk to you about, but I know you have an interest in this Wiz Khalifa song.
Well, for the very first time, Phil, I have agreed, I think, in principle, with one of the things you're saying on your program.
And that we were talking about how Wiz Khalifa and a lot of these artists sing about smoking bud, smoking marijuana, and smoking a lot of it. And they're lying, aren't they?
I think that they are lying, and I'm ambivalent right now. I'm just feeling different and weird. I can see Dickman. I can see the witch. Every time you people bring me on your program, I get surrounded by this much white. I get nervous. Okay.
That's kind of racist, isn't it?
No, it's not racist, Phil. I got nothing against. But I get too many white people around me. I start to feel nervous. I start to feel like I need to find a way out. You know, I'm looking for a door, a window, anything, because I feel like I want to climb through a window and sprint to my automobile. But let me tell you about Wiz Khalifa. I know this young man. Very hardworking young man. Hardworking young man. Wiz Khalifa has done well by himself and by his people. There's no question about that. What I teach in our urban studies class there at L.A. Canyon College, Phil, is that while you are marketing yourself, selling yourself, or whatever business you are in, you must be honest, and there is no way that young brother is smoking that much bud and then hitting the workday and putting out the enormous amount of product that he does and creating the hit records that he does. There's no way that young man is smoking all that kush and having a hit record.
Now, you're saying this kid's just putting it on, as they say,
Yeah, he's putting it on, is right. And Wiz Khalifa, and I find this true of a lot of hip-hop artists. And I know you talked about this on the air, Phil, and I was resentful because you came to the notion and came to the realization before I did. So I'm taking my cue from you, and it feels bad. I'm not racist or anything. I just don't like a white man leading the way. And that has to do with history, Phil.
Yeah, you talk about being racism and everything.
Hey, look, Dickman, I know what you're all about, okay? I know what you're all about. You're not a racist, bud, but you are dumb. You're so dumb that racism is your fallback. It's your default.
Yeah, you're just going to be a racist, man. On account, it's just automatic. No, I'm not. I got a black girlfriend and everything.
Hey, I've heard enough about your black girlfriend, okay? I don't care whether you got a black... I don't care if your girlfriend is as black as coal. I don't care if she's as dark as night. The inside of a cow. Deep space. Dark matter.
Okay, we I'm sorry, Professor.
I'm just telling this dimwit that there's a certain default racism that this young man is involved in that I don't like it at all. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing about smoking that weed. This young boy who was killed in that race car did you see that racetrack accident?
Yeah, that was Tony Stewart and young man Ward. Yeah, the young man's name is Ward.
Right. That boy was killed, and they found out he had weed. He had cannabis sativa. He had the high level of cannabis, right?
Yes, he did. He had enough marijuana, I guess it's called cannabis, in his system. Did you hear this, Phil?
I heard it yesterday, yeah.
I didn't hear what happened.
Yeah.
This boy, this young man by the name of Ward that was killed by Tony Stewart's car, was hit by his car, had enough cannabis in his system to have been impaired.
Right, and I'm going to tell you something right now. That kid Ward, he's a young white man. But now I got Wiz Khalifa out singing about smoking that weed. And I'd say to his young brother, you know, I don't know whether that kid Ward heard that music or not. But if that kid's blasting up before a race because he hearing Wiz Khalifa saying, yeah, man, I torch one up first thing in the morning. And I'm high, you know. And I'm still going into the studio and putting out all kind of product and getting a whole lot of work done. Hell, I'm Drake. You know, I'm Drake on weed. I bet you Drake don't do diddly shit. Excuse my language, Phil. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I bet you Drake don't do diddly shit on weed. I bet you Drake is afraid to have himself a sip of, you know, like Ripple wine or something. I bet you Drake is afraid of taking a damn aspirin. But Wiz, I know that brother gets high, but I bet you he don't get high on the days he's working.
All right, so what about Ward?
I think that young man Ward might have heard Wiz saying, yeah, I'm so high, yeah. And he said, why don't I go ahead and torch up an owl just before the race? I'll blast up, I'll fire that bitch up, smoke that bitch all the way down to Roach, leave that in the ashtray there in the race car. I don't know if race car got an ashtray or not.
Probably not.
All right, well, then he pitched it out onto the track. How about that? Some poor track hobo. You know, these guys that hang around a racetrack call him Track Hobo. Guy got a place in the infield, right? Brought his SUV there. He's got his wife. You don't know, he's got a recreational vehicle. That's what he got. He's sitting up there like the track hobo that he is, just a bum. And here come racing by Ward, and he tosses that reefer out on the track. He goes out, gets that roach, and starts blasting up. Next thing you know, the man's dead. And I blame Wiz for that.
You can't do that, okay?
Well, I'm doing it.
Well, you don't mean literally.
I mean him celebrating smoking that dope and going to work. That's what you're talking about, Wiz. So next time you're singing that music about I'm so high, this, that, something else, why don't you think about it, young man? If you blasting up smoking all that dope and you're going out and making hit records, not everybody can do that. Now, if that's what you're doing, more power to you. My hat's off to you. I don't know anybody can smoke pounds and pounds of weed. I tried it once. And I never told you the story, but...
This is an interesting story, because Professor...
I'll tell the story, Robert. Don't worry about it. But I told Robert, I told Bud the story.
Now, this is the time when you were teaching back east?
Yeah, I was teaching back in school. And I was just getting into urban studies, and I was beginning my... I was doing a dissertation on hip-hop music and rap music, and I decided that I wanted to live the life of at least, you know, Snoop and some of the young rappers at the time that were celebrating... Blasting up and smoking that big, big bong, just a big load, a bowl full, brother. A bong hit loaded with some serious-ass buds, some Canadian BC, some of that real high-tech stuff, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Phil, I'm just setting it up.
I got it, okay? Really powerful weed.
All right. So I spent the next 3 weeks smoking every morning. I'd light up a bowl of some of the heaviest donkey dick you have. Excuse my language, but that's what it's called, Margaret.
I'm aware of that, yes.
Right, so I'd blast up a bowl full of some of the heaviest donkey dick you ever put your... Well...
Well, you can't really say that.
Can't say what?
I don't... Do you mind if I say I smoked up the heaviest donkey dick I ever put my lips around? Or...
Oh, I see. That is... Yeah. Yeah, whatever, man. I'm not telling you not to say it.
All right, well, I'd rat. But what does it make you? Does it make you think of me as some kind of a weird ass? Or...
No, that's the name of the weed, right?
Yeah, but I just said I put my lips around donkey dick in the morning.
You didn't say that. You said I smoked a bowl full of this donkey dick.
I said I... Look, Phil, I wish you'd listen to what I'm saying.
Phil, you really have to listen.
I don't care what the guy said. I'm not the guy to put the words into his mouth. He's saying what he's going to say. And if you say it's some of the heaviest donkey dick I ever put my lips around, then you're asking me whether you can say that or not. I got a better idea.
What?
Why don't you just take a step back and rephrase it?
I want to tell everybody how heavy ass this weed was.
Why don't you just say it's heavy ass weed?
Why don't you just say it's heavy ass weed?
That's how you sound to me, Phil, right on the phone, okay? I'm bleeding from the nose listening to you going,
why don't you say that's heavy ass weed?
Would you just calm down for a minute?
Okay, say whatever you want. It's all right.
But do I sound like a weird ass on jets? That's all I'm asking.
I'll answer the question for you, Professor Clayton.
Thank you very much, General.
I think it does sound, you sound slightly balled up and weirded out and ready for a nut bin when you say, boy, I blasted up some of the heaviest donkey dick I ever wrapped my lips around. Yes, it does.
All right, let me rephrase it.
That's exactly what I asked you to do when I...
That's exactly what I asked you!
Look, Phil, calm down, okay?
Phil, you need to calm down.
Sorry.
All right. So the next 2 weeks when I was back east and I was at a school in Cleveland called Case Western University. Anybody ever heard of Case Western?
Yes, sir, I have.
All right. And I'm doing study there, and I wanted to study the hip-hop culture. Can a man actually put out all these hit records and do all this great stuff while he is sucking down lungful after lungful after lungful of some of the most high-concentrate cannabis that man has ever developed? I mean, real crossbreed stuff. Real high-intensity, high levels of THC, right? So I smoke bowl after bowl. This is about 3 weeks' worth. I wouldn't go into the research center unless I've smoked about 3 or 4 bowls. Now, the project I was working on was a book.
Okay, so what was the book about?
I was writing a book on the development of hip-hop culture from the tumult of the 1960s forward. So the 1960s is what gave us the gang culture, for instance, in Los Angeles, right here where we live. And the 1960s also gave us black nationalism from a very violent standpoint. I mean, black nationalism had been developing. Now we bring along hip-hop culture, which actually started, hip-hop lyrics, rap lyrics, actually started in black music in the late 1960s. And, of course, with the sounds coming out of Europe and that Kraftwerk, those four white boys coming out with that auto bomb, another bomb, 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 that sound like four white. And I know these crackers... I say that with all due respect, you know.
Call a guy a cracker.
Dickman, I'm saying this culturally. Anyway, so I'm doing this book, but I'm not writing a book. I'm not going to the research center writing a book unless I'm smoking bowl after bowl. So I'm doing at least 3 bowls before I go in. Then I take a break at 10:30. I blast up again, smoking a fat blunt. I had one of those cigar cases full of blunts. I'm blasting that, smoking that, weed, 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 God almighty. People walk into the research room that I was in. I was in a part of the library where they let me work. And they're like, God damn, man. I had getting contact highs left and right. There were people there that never even had a glass of wine. They had contact highs. They're sitting on the grass laughing their ass off. It was pretty funny, but at the same time, I'm doing this for a reason.
So you're getting high on marijuana and trying to write a book to see if you could be creative the same way that Wiz Khalifa is.
Right. That brother, as I said, you just heard the song. He's smoking it. Well, I got the project done. The first chapter was done in a month. And I brought it into Dr. Benedict. And Dr. Benedict took about... I was leaving. He came out, he came out, he said, I'm done reading it, here it is. I said, what are you... And I looked at it, and it was... I got the copy of it right here. This is chapter 1, study of urban culture and the development of hip-hop rap from the 1960s forward. Professor Emory Clayton, L.A. Canyon College, by way of Case Western. And this was written in 2012. Chapter 1. And I'm reading directly. Gaga, boo, 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 boo. Ha, 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 boo, 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 boo. Chapter 2. Boo, goo, goo, boo, goo, 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 goo.
So in other words, you not only wrote this, you wrote crap, but you weren't aware of what you were writing.
Exactly. I didn't even know I was writing crap. So the conclusion, and at the end of the book I said, and the book is only 5 pages long, but it is already being considered for a August Ceremonial Award at next week's Professorial Review, which will be in Philadelphia.
Wait, hold on. What are you talking about now?
I'm telling you right now that my book, 4 pages long, that only goes la-la-goo-goo, is being awarded a professor. It's an academic award that we give out once a year.
Why?
Why?
Fuck you, man.
Oh, my. Did you hear that?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, you're not giving the man a chance, you know.
Wait a minute. I think I understand what he's saying, though, you know.
Yeah, but get him back on the phone.
Yeah, Professor Clayton. Yeah, Mr. Henry's mad. He's mad. Professor Clayton says he's mad, too.
I don't care. All right. What are you mad about?
I'm mad because you won't let me spit out what I'm going to try to say. I was going to say, how could you not give an award to a book that so very clearly illustrates the effects of weed on the creative process so that Wiz Khalifa is a lying, no good... Man, that brother is a liar. That Negro has lied from way back. If he says he's getting all that work done, I tried to write a book on the development of hip-hop culture of the 1960s forward, and all it comes out goo-goo, ga-ga, goo-goo. And I was working on it for a month, and I thought I had gotten about 5 chapters done. Turns out I wrote 4 pages of goo-goo, goo-goo, ba-ba-ba-ba. You goddamn right that's brilliant. That proves, once and for all, you can't do that kind of work high on that weed. All right, now what did you want to say?
I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, besides, see, you gotta let a man finish, you know?
You got to let a man finish, Mr. Henry, before you start in with your judgment. You understand? Now, Phil, you're a good man, but God, you know, you're a big, fat mouth.
All right, I apologize. You're absolutely right. You're right. I apologize. I apologize. So you did actually illustrate that very, very well. And has Wiz Khalifa responded?
No, he ain't going to respond. You want to know why? Because when he does get high, it's at the end of the day when he's answering phone calls or answering his bed. I tried calling him after 5 o'clock. Man, he is stoned on his back. That dude probably just staring up at some kind of kaleidoscope he got painted on his ceiling. He don't get really straight, you know, and ready to go back to work till the next morning about whatever it is, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. So that brother there, he's stoned. Oh, yeah, he's stoned, but not when he's working.
All right, Professor Emory Clayton, thank you, sir. Good to talk with you, as usual.
Thank you, Phil. I'm on my way to class right now, so I do have to sign up, but I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. That's a...
Well, it is fine. That's why I said I understand what he's saying. But I still don't understand you're going to give an award to a book that's only 5 pages.
Yeah, well, that's not Goo Goo Gaga. That's what he should have called it. It's a Goo Goo Gaga... a study of the urban culture.
No, bud, because it has to do with smoking marijuana.
Yeah, it's about the high level of THC and can you actually get work done? Can you get a creative thing done? I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. Who knows? All right, Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more news here on our morning podcast here this morning. Now, tonight at 9 o'clock is the L.A. Podfest. I'm supposed to, well, tonight at 9 o'clock is my appearance at the L.A. Podfest in the Santa Monica Room there in the Sofitel Hotel. I'm supposed to be there. Will I or will I not? I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know, man. I've been working my ass off this week, all hours of the day. And yesterday, that 4-hour trip into L.A., man, like to set me free, Jack. Here is In This Moment.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico. We'll be right back.
Jim Prescott's here. You know, Prescott's Cakes, Donuts, and Pastries has been open for about 15 years in the Caneo Valley and out there in the Camarillo Plains. And I tell you right now, when you want to come and get a donut and slap it right into your face, brother, there's no place like it. Jim Prescott's Donuts has been here because you've been here. You need us. We need you. And we'll make a donut. And we'll shove it right in there. We'll even move your jaws up and down for you and help you chew it. If you come in for a dozen donuts, this is my price, and this is my promise to you, me, Jim Prescott. These are my donuts. This is my shop. I can make this promise, okay? There's no middleman. You come in, get a dozen donuts, I'll come out. I'll say hi to you. I'll even look you in the eye and say thank you very much. Shake your hand. A dozen donuts, Jim Prescott Donuts, Camarillo.
Get a dozen donuts today at the Jim Prescott Donut Shop.
My promise to you.
Margaret Gray, I do not approve of this band, nor the slut that sings the lead vocals because she's beautiful and talented. I hate her so much.
And I saw a thing last night. Do you ever watch this show, Air Disasters?
Yeah, I've seen that thing occasionally, yeah.
You know... I can't even believe that I flew in an airplane in the 1970s. I mean, I started flying commercially when I didn't really fly until I was 19 or 20. I mean, I think the first commercial aircraft that I flew in, I was like 18 years old. I was going to San Francisco. Before that, I'd never had any reason to fly anywhere. You know, I didn't go anywhere. Everywhere I went before that, I hitchhiked, you know.
Which is not the brightest thing. I can't believe you're walking around and you're not part of a suitcase someplace or 15 pieces buried in a hillside somewhere.
Now, talk about that, Mr. Little serial killer.
Well, I somehow survived it. But I can't believe I flew commercially in the 70s and survived because... although most aircraft, you know, flew safely in the 70s, but apparently in the 1970s, watching this thing, because that show I watch...
This morbid fascination you have with air disasters really leaves me cold.
Well, Mr. Henry's just trying to learn stuff.
I'm not watching it every day, like, ooh, wow, a plane crash. I find it interesting. There's a guy that wrote a book called What Makes Planes Crash. They had him on during the whole Malaysian Airline 370 news story, the cycle of that story, and this was a guy who was featured prominently because he, you know, studied what makes an aircraft leave the air and hit the ground before schedule and explode, and oh yeah, everybody's dead, and what happened? You know, there's a lot of different things, but I can't believe this thing I saw.
Oh, you're talking about the Portland flight.
That goddamn.
What? Oh, is that the one that went down? I'm sorry.
That was great. When is that the one that went?
I know what. Is that the one that went down in 78?
Yeah. This is a jet, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there was a time in the history of air travel where you weren't supposed to, you know, there were three guys in the cockpit, not two. Today, you have a pilot and a co-pilot, and the navigation is pretty much on the computer. But in the old days, you had three. You had a pilot, cockpit, a pilot, a co-pilot, and a, was it a navigator general?
Yes, it was your navigator. He was the one that was giving you the essentials of the trip, including fuel consumption.
Right. This plane is on its way to Portland, Oregon from New York. I think it had a stop in Salt Lake City, something like that. Okay, it's a routine flight. It's a beautiful night. It's as clear as a bell. It's a beautiful flight. Conditions are absolutely perfect as this man is, this pilot of, I think it was, what was the airline?
I think it was American Airlines or something, or it might have been U.S. I don't know what it was.
No, it was American Airlines. No, maybe it was,
No, it was United Airlines. No, wait a minute.
Well, then you don't know, right?
All right, Phil, we down now. God damn.
By the way, the UK has approved airstrikes on Iraq. So,
Well, goddamn good for them. You know, the British, you can rely on them. When the push comes to shove, those are sensible people, and they know the right thing to do.
Well, the UK approves airstrikes on ISIS in Iraq. David Cameron is at present speaking. We are also waiting for Chuck Hagel and other members of the administration to speak on the hiss. All right. Anyway, I'm watching this thing. Beautiful night. The plane's coming in for landing. Well, what happens? A landing gear light goes on. Now, that means the landing gear light...
Yeah, thought it was stuck.
Right. They thought it was stuck. And the pilot says, okay, we have to fix this because I do not want to attempt a landing with the possibility the landing gear is malfunctioning. Now, I understand landing gear may be stuck or there simply could be a wiring problem. Maybe the light itself is faulty. You don't know. So he's doing these double checks. Well, as he is circling Portland, doing these double checks on this landing gear, they're running out of fuel.
Yeah, there was only 45 minutes of fuel left.
Yeah, there are 45 minutes of fuel left by the time they got to Portland.
Right. Now this guy is using up the fuel as he's circling the airport, worried about this landing light problem. What happened was He became so fixated on the landing light problem, and in those days in the 70s, on commercial aircraft in the United States and probably around the world, you did not supersede your rank in the cockpit. The captain was the captain. He knew what was up. And nobody ever really spoke up and said, well, Captain, you're making a mistake, because that would be considered a huge violation of protocol, and it would be it wasn't the way things worked. So you had to sort of sneak it in. Believe it or not, folks. So the navigator says, okay, we are on zero fuel, because the navigator's job is to say, tell about fuel consumption. He says, okay, we have 5 minutes of fuel left, and he's hoping and praying.
You're telling me the captain, and he didn't even hear that, huh?
Oh, my God.
No, the captain, it didn't register with him. He's thinking of this, landing gear, and okay, we have 5 minutes of fuel left, Captain. The co-pilot says, okay, we're not going to make the airport. We're going to have to crash land. The protocol being, hey, Captain, you better do something, because you couldn't do that. You could only say to the captain what it was that was your job to say. We're not going to make the airport. We got 5 minutes of fuel. Now, again, I don't think there was a law against it, but the protocol was so in place and was so entrenched and so longstanding that this is how things were done.
Well, and so you're telling me the plane crashed.
The plane ran out of fuel while this captain had his thumb up his ass and wasn't thinking about this fuel problem. He was thinking about this landing gear. Now, the upshot of this, and you might say there's it's not really a silver lining, but at that moment, the captain's actual skill came into play as a pilot, and he was able to land this aircraft in between, I don't think, one house. He looked and he saw a big black patch in front of him. Understand, folks, he's run out of gas. This never should have happened. He should have been fine. He should have landed with fuel to spare. Even if he had circled once to check out the landing gear thing, he should have gone ahead and gone in. They had fire gear on the runway. Apparently, a landing gear problem is not as critical a thing as you may think. You can land an aircraft even if the landing gear collapses. Pilots are trained in this ad nauseum, and it's generally a successful landing. It's very, very rare that it is anything other than that. But he didn't want to do that. He was circling, and now he realizes he's out of fuel.
And so what are the passengers doing?
Now he's got to prepare everybody for crash landing. He's getting on the intercom. He's saying, prepare to crash. The flight attendants already have them sort of ready because they knew there was this landing gear thing. He had requested fire equipment on the runway, and chances are they weren't going to need it. And as it turned out, I don't think they did, because in the post-mortem, the NTSB looked at the aircraft and didn't see anything wrong functionally with the landing gear. But he sees this black patch in front of him. He didn't know what it was, but there's no lights. So he's figuring maybe it's a park, you know?
Yeah, there's a bunch of houses there.
You're kidding.
No, there were houses. But somehow, you know, the fates were with him as he brought this plane down. He landed this sucker between houses. Now, I know there's a huge wingspan on an aircraft, but somehow, and I think the wings themselves were sheared at least partially, somehow no homes were substantially damaged. Nobody on the ground was killed. But there were people killed on the aircraft. I believe one of whom was the navigator.
This was the young man who was supposed to tell about the...
Yeah, that's the fuel, because the navigator died, and the co-pilot lived, right?
I think so. But there were other people that died, but most of the people lived. Most of the people survived. And in the years that followed, while this pilot went through every... He was fired.
As well he should have been, but God, I wouldn't let that guy near an airplane ever again as long as he lived.
Well, he was fired. He was decertified, but they kept him on as an instructor, and for the rest of his life, his name was McBroom. McBroom was the last name of this pilot. For the rest of his life, this haunted him, as you can well imagine. He went to the reunions of the survivors. He was destroyed by it. And I don't know, man, but what you would do to come to terms with something like this, but he, to the end of his days, he claimed that there was the fuel indicator was wrong, that he was told he had more fuel. That was not what the flight recorder, the cockpit recorder recorded. The cockpit recorder recorded the navigator continually giving this guy, isn't that a story or something?
By the way, you trying to tell me this guy ran out of gas and knew he was running out of gas? Yeah, the dumbass, you know.
Don't call him a dumbass, bud.
Well, he was.
Well, technically, yes, but the man died a broken man. And, you know, you sit there staring out a window and you wonder, what could I have done? Could I have saved the lives of countless millions? I think that way, even though I had nothing to do with anything like that. But I'll stare out a window with a glass of whiskey some nights, staring off into the distance and thinking, what if I'd taken the road less traveled and gone into footwear? My father owned a shoe store.
General, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a momentous thing like an air. I know you're a veteran of combat, a war veteran. We honor you, but you could have gone into a shoe store.
You're thinking of selling women's footwear instead of fighting for your country. What a foot freak, God.
Yeah, well, you know what, baby? Looking at your feet, maybe.
You are disgusting. Excuse me.
All right. Going to take a break on the Phil Henry Show and be back here. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And, yeah, that's a whack story. Check out that show. It's called Air Disasters, man. It's on all kinds of different things. Excuse me, different channels and everything. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Do you have a backstage pass to our website? With a backstage pass, you can get up to date on all of the podcasts that we have done, all of the shows that we have done, all of the things that we have done, all of the disgusting things that I've done, all the things I've done off the air in an alley some night when I'm in a, you know. You can check it out at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. Get a one-month subscription. As a matter of fact, we have got a special going on. Where is it, bud?
I'm going on a special there.
God damn it, man. I, you know what kills me is I never have things when I need them. But I think if you buy a BSP, you get one free. Or do we have the digital download thing going on here?
Check it out on the website.
We always have a special going on. This month, our special is buy a BSP, get a free digital CD, man. So I think that's worth it. So if you buy a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com, you get a free digital CD. Get a BSP today.
This here is Drake. Started from the bottom. Yeah, I'll bet he did.
Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Always tell stories about the men. Say I never struggled, wasn't hungry. Yeah, I doubt it, nigga. I can turn your boy into the man. There ain't really much out here that's popping off without us, nigga. We just want the credit where it's due.
All right, Drake was started from the bottom. Phil Henry Show. One more little note here, and this is the Derek Jeter last night, and Bob Bacon actually was watching that ball game. As a matter of fact, Bob, you've had the pleasure, I think, of ferrying Derek. When I say ferrying, of carrying Derek Jeter to and from airports in the past. Were you doing some commercial flying out of the airports?
Derek Jeter, the member of the New York Yankees team, and so I'm very, very grateful to be able to fly Derek Jeter from Miami International Airport onto his home there in Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton. And he did take a shot, but there's a lot of the Yankee players of those days.
Tell me what you think of it. By the way, folks, Derek Jeter last night had what is called a walk-off single. It means that he singled in the winning run in the bottom of the ninth inning there at Yankee Stadium in front of the home team. This is the last time Derek Jeter will ever be seen at bat in professional baseball. At least in a New York Yankee uniform, and he singled in the winning run. A very dramatic moment, huh?
Well, there's no question, Phil, that Derek Jeter is a very, very exciting guy. He's the kind of a guy that you're going to be seeing a long time in life, and he's out there on the plane as he comes in. I've seen Derek Jeter flee around. He's freed up, and he flees like a monkey, and he's driving around swinging on 100 yards of grapevine. Derek Jeter, that kind of a ball player, that loves him very deeply.
All right, thanks very much, Bob.
I'm Phil. Bob Hagel, Bob.
You know, that guy, that was a report on Derek Jeter.
I realize he's hard to understand, you know.
Hard to understand? You can't understand one thing, that mealy-mouthed two-bit God.
Yeah, besides that, get another guy.
Get another guy? I mean, he was the guy, he knows Derek Jeter.
Yeah, he knows Derek Jeter, but he can't say nothing about it.
Oh, okay, bud. Well, all right, man. Jesus.
Well, Phil, I don't blame Bud this time. You got this mush-mouthed clown. This guy's about 100 yard of clown makeup, that's all. He's got a helicopter blade and a big round red nose, and that's it. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey.
All right, bud. Well, anyway, too perfect indeed. Derek Jeter got his storybook Yankee Stadium ending on Thursday night. The headline of this by Dave Blazow is Jeter's heroics last night were almost too perfect. Well, what's that supposed to mean?
I'll bet you this guy thinks that Jeter, it's a setup, and somebody paid someone off.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But, anyway, it says here that Derek Jeter got his storybook Yankee Stadium ending on Thursday night as he singled home pinch runner Anton Richardson with the winning run in a 6-5 Yankee victory over the Orioles.
But just take a look at the chain of events that preceded the historic hit. While each element was plausible in its own right from a baseball standpoint, when viewed together, it does look like a script right out of Hollywood. Do we have the audio of this thing?
Well, you were listening to it ad nauseum, Phil.
Yes, I was listening to it ad nauseum. Derek Jeter came to bat there in the bottom of the ninth inning. The New York Yankees were down. They needed to get the winning runs in. I believe it was tied up 5-5, if I'm not mistaken. And here comes Derek Jeter. This is the last time that this guy is going to be in a Yankee uniform for sure. The last time that this cat is going to be, you know, playing for the New York Yankees. An amazing, amazing time. Now, here's the walk-off single. I don't know if we're going to have a commercial here or not, but we've probably got a commercial coming up. Here's the walk-off single as it was announced last night on... Can we turn the music off, bud?
Yeah, I'm just going to try to do it right now.
Well, then do it, man. Where the hell is the music, dude? There it is. Turn that shit off, man, because I want to see this in all of its glory. So he comes to the plate. The team is tied up 5-5, and here he comes.
And that brings up Jeter.
That took long enough, Phil. I don't know where the... What are you talking to me about it for?
Jeter. I want to listen to this. Number two.
And this is... Who are those people?
Those are his parents. See, there's a black guy and a white lady. That's Derek Jeter.
All right, we got it.
Well, the script is there. The last page is in Derek's hands.
And he doesn't have any lines. I'm kidding.
Meek deals. Base hit to right field. Here comes Richardson. Here's the throw from Markakis. Richardson is safe. Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single. Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. Did you have any doubt?
How about that, huh?
That's very dramatic.
Well, I guess that's why they people love the sports and the different things that are done.
You better believe that. That is why people love the sports and the different things that are done, Margaret. It's a dramatic thing. It was Derek Jeter's last at bat. I was talking to Bud before the show. You didn't see it, Bud. You're too young. But I actually somewhere have a tape of a home run hit by Steve Garvey, not for the Dodgers, for the San Diego Padres. It was a home run that he hit off of Lee Smith of the Chicago Cubs. The Padres were down, I think, 3-2, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they were down 3-2 to the Cubs in the 84 NLCS. And the Padres came back to win it in 7 games. The Cubs pulled another fool-de-roo. But the thing that sparked it was the home run by Steve Garvey. And the thing that made me think of it was the exact same reaction. The same camera angles, the teams were coming up and slapping him on the back. I mean, the guys were just flipping out, man. They were digging all bits of that, you know. All right, kids, that's it for me. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I know that we're going to be, you know what, at this particular point, I guess we'll have to be at the damn, I don't know. Whether we're at the podcast tonight or not, we'll just be, you know, remains to be seen. I think we probably will be. The jury's out. The problem is that we've been running, you know.
You know, I probably want to get some rest or something like that, you know.
It isn't so much the rest, you know. It's just like going back and forth to L.A. I'm ambivalent, as the saying goes. You know, I'm ambivalent. I don't know what, but we'll have to... You know, we'll have to wait and see. That's for tonight. But nonetheless, I hope you do at least tune in the podcast on the stream.
Well, the LA Podfest will be streaming live, and you can listen to it or hear it or view it. I think view it if you subscribe to it. And remember to use the Hendry code, right?
Yeah, use our code, which is Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, to get the live stream of the LA Podfest, okay? That's H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
Well, here's Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah, this is John Cougar Mellencamp. This is I Need a Lover. This is the song that we were talking about. This is my favorite John Cougar Mellencamp song of all time.
World Famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on the Sideshow Network. I'm Margaret Gray, and I'll be at the Podfest tonight, even if Phil isn't. Oh.
Well, how's that possible?